Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
All right. Well, it's kind of, we're going to be talking about some fun stuff today. You guys ready? Sometimes I wonder if I'm ready, but Pastor Alex said, you know, Andre, you've been married for, what, 10 years? I'm like, yeah, I guess. So, you know, you probably learned a thing or two, right? So we're going to be concluding our last installment of our Reset series. Who has been blessed by this series so far? Bringing back the love. We're going to bring back the love today, but not like you think. We're going to really bring back the love. We're going to be talking about sex today and intimacy. Some of y'all just went like, guys, help me out. Help a brother out. That was a snarky laugh over there. It's going to be cool. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be free. Hopefully I have some limiters in, you know, around me today, but I'm going to be as free as I can because God created human beings. He created sex. He created intimacy. It's not weird. It's not gross. It's not disgusting, right? Amen, all you married people. Help me out. Feedback is much appreciated. But, you know, guys, to be honest with you, I grew up in a church, you know, very kind of a strict church. Now, if you're tuning us online, don't turn it off. This is going to be awesome. You're going to like this. I pray it's going to bless you. But I grew up in a church where, you know, we didn't really talk about sex. I mean, it's like if you go to a church around, you know, nowadays, more than likely than not, you're probably not going to hear them, you know, talking about sex and intimacy that much. But I grew up in a church kind of like that. And you know what? I wish they talked about sex more than they did. You know what I'm saying? I wish like my church talked about intimacy because I didn't know any of that stuff growing up. Guess where I got it from? MTV. We were poor. We didn't have cable. I didn't have MTV. So I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't know what MTV is. I know what MTV is, but MTV, TV, Facebook wasn't around back then. Instagram wasn't around back then. You know, you learn it from TV. You learn it from school, right? You learn it from your classmates. You learn it for those nasty cousins of yours. Who here learned about sex from their cousins? One hand? Really? Thanks, honey. I love the support, but I don't know. Maybe this is just an anomaly. But I ask people, and like a very common answer is like they learned it from their cousins. Because, you know, cousins tell you cuss words and all that stuff. See, we came, and I didn't know any of that stuff. And then my cousins, you know, we're a little older, and so they're like, hey, so this is what you say, and this is what you do, and this is what happens. Like, your parents do this. I'm like, no. Trying to rip my eyes out, you know, like, I did not just hear that, right? But you know what? Here's the thing. If we don't talk about sex, if we don't educate our children or intimacy, guess what? The culture will. The culture's going to teach our kids about sex and intimacy. The culture's going to tell them how to do what to do, when to do it, what works, what doesn't work, you know? So do you want to raise your children or do you want your culture to raise your children for you? Because whether you like it or not, the culture is going to raise our kids. I don't want to be a passive parent. I want to be so involved in my kids' life. Now, I'm not saying like crazy, overly involved. That's my struggle. We'll deal with that. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I want to be involved in my kids' life. As I'm growing older, guys, and I don't consider myself old by any means, but I have a family. We got two kids. We got a third one on the way. Praise Jesus. It's amazing. Time to be alive right now. But there's so much stuff out there, guys. Right? There's so much information out there. There's so much, whether you want to receive it or not, you're getting pushed sex and pushed intimacy. Everywhere you look, sex is there. Sex is one of the most marketed and one of the most marketable things out there. It's all over. It's on, listen to the music. Turn on one of our popular radio stations out there. Listen to the music today. Probably out of 10 songs, what, 7, 8 of them are going to be about sex or about intimacy. What I want to say is, why is the culture so big on it? And why are we, why is the church, why are believers, why are mommies and daddies out there not, we have some growing up to do. We got to catch up a little bit, amen? So let's do that. It's going to be fun. Man, the one Sunday Pastor Alex is gone, they make me preach about sex and intimacy. Pastor Alex, if you're watching, I love you, my brother. We'll talk later. I'm just going to say what I have to say because, you know, I ain't going to be here on Sunday. He's going to be here, and so I'll let him worry about what the damage control. Amen? Please come back next Sunday, guys. Please. If you're a visitor today, please, we're not freaks. We don't do this all the time. We love you. We're so glad we came. You know, you came, and under these circumstances, please come back. Give us a chance. We're not crazy. Okay, let's get into it. Sex was God's idea from the beginning. Let's put up that verse. Genesis 1, 21 through 22. Now reading the NLT translation. So let's read. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. So he liked it. It was awesome. Let's keep going. Then God blessed them. Keywords right there. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Well, how do you think things multiply? What do you think God meant when he said, be fruitful and multiply? He was talking about it. He said, have babies. God, first what he did was he blessed them. So notice, blessing, number one. And number two, be fruitful and multiply. So have babies. So animals were doing it way before it was cool. Before Adam and Eve. Because remember, we read later on in the chapter about the creation of mankind. God created Adam and Eve. And this is what the first marriage looked like. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, 27 through 28. So just a little further down. So God created human beings in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then let's keep reading. Do you notice a parallel between the few verses before we just read in this verse? What does it say again? It said, then God, say blessed. Then God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Sex is a direct blessing from God. God is the designer, the architect of the idea of sex and intimacy. He's the one that established it on the earth. And it's a blessing. He said, be blessed, he said, and then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Well, how do you be fruitful and multiply? You have babies. Amen? Amen. That's the first marriage. Guys, that's the established prototype of God's idea. One man and a woman came together, he blessed them, and then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, let's talk about three purposes of sex, or the three P's of sex, if you will. I know it's cheesy. I get cheesy sometimes. Number one P is, does that sound fun? I think I just got that. Oh. Help me, Lord. Number one P, procreation. Number two, pleasure. Obvious. And number three, praise. What? Praise? What? Procreation, pleasure, and praise. Number one and two equal number three. When we fulfill number one and two as God designed and planned, number three is a result of number one and two. We bring honor. Guys, as cheesy and weird as it is, this was never preached in my church. It's a blessing from God to enjoy our spouses intimately. God loves it. God honors it. When we honor our spouses, God designed it. It's not weird to him. It's not freaky. He's the one who thought up of it. Sex isn't, and here's something I want to kind of get into, but sex isn't just a physical bond, but it's actually a spiritual bond. You know that? Sex and intimacy is kind of like it's a bond on like a soul or a soulish level, if you know what I mean. Let's read Genesis 2, 23 through 24. Let's put that up. These two words here kind of interesting to me. It says, Adam says this, it says, "At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from me." What do you guys think Adam said at last? I think he was waiting for somebody. Why else would you say at last? Now, I know this is, you know, Bible has been translated to thousands of years. Like when I come home from work, my wife sees me. She never, ever once in 10 years of marriage said, "At last, my husband has come home from work." Right? Who says that, right? Like, has anyone here said that? No, just, I know no one said that. I don't even need to ask that. That's a stupid question. But you know what I'm saying? This is just Bible translation. We don't say that. But at last insinuates that Adam was waiting for something. I even go as far as to thinking that he was having a dialogue with God. Because remember, God and him, he were talking the cool of the day. He was tending to the Garden of Eden. That was his job. Taking care of the creatures, planting, blah, blah, blah. You know, doing some work. Getting some work done. And then he said, at last. I think God was telling him something. And you know what? To prove that, it does also say in the Bible, it says, God said that it is not good for man to be alone. That's why Adam said, at last. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. Do we have more on that? Or is that all I gave you guys? Okay, so 24. This explains why a man leaves his father, now listen to this, and his mother, and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. That's kind of big. The two are united into one. So guys, I mean, I don't want to be a buzzkill, and if I'm being too harsh, please forgive me. I believe in God's grace. I think there's grace for every situation, every season, every pass. I don't care. You can't out-sin God. He's going to love you. He pursues you. And here's the thing, and I won't spend too much time. I'll let our youth pastors, you know, deal with this. But this part, the two are united into one. Guys, it's a big deal. It isn't just sex. It isn't just intimacy. It isn't just shacking up. The two are united into one. It's a soulish bond. It's a spiritual bond. So that's why God designed Adam, and then he designed Eve, and he said, hey, come together, have that bond. I bless this. I love this. This is my intent for this. You guys make me happy. You know, the culture says it's just, I mean, guys, come on, let's be honest. I mean, culture says it's just sex. It's just a fling. It's just a one-night stand, or, you know, it doesn't mean anything. We love each other. We're going to get, you know, married, possibly. It's just, you know, we gotta try things out. We gotta test it out and stuff like that. You know? Yeah. Test drive, as they say. But according to the word of God, it's not just one fling, it's one flesh. One fling comes into one flesh. Okay? Now I don't want to be condemning, because guys, I love you. I hope you love me, but we love everybody. Everyone has their own different paths or their stories, and you know, there's always baggage, but let's reset. Let's reset, like this series is about. Let's reset what God means when he talks about love and sex and intimacy. And let's bring back the love, the real love, the true love. Not the worldly love, not the culturally love, but the real love that only the Father can give, that only the Father can bless, that he just pours out on us graciously. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your past, no matter what you did last summer, no matter what happened to you. Because some things are out of your control, right? Some things, we could have had some things messed up happen to us. Guys, there's different stories of so many different people that my heart just, I just reaches out for them. Because I want them to know the love of the Father towards them. Amen. Let's continue. Culture says you don't have to wait for God's timing. You can just do whatever you want, whenever you want, do what feels good. You know, this wouldn't be a good sermon on sex and intimacy if I didn't bring some props. Oh boy, some people's collars are getting a little tight, right? It wouldn't be. I shame on me if I didn't bring any props to talk about sex and intimacy. So I took the liberty of stopping by one of the adult superstores and picking something up. Pastor Alex is like, I'm gonna kill that boy. I'm gonna kill that boy. I have here something. Some of y'all, like, faces are like, oh, Lord. Speaking in tongues. Bah, 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 bah. Don't do it, Andre. Don't do it, brother.
Guys, relax. Oh, my goodness. This is what I brought. It's moisturizer.
What'd you guys think it was going to be? This is shampoo moisturizer, lavender mint.
Smells good. You're a sicko, I know.
Okay, did we defuse the situation? You guys okay now? Some of y'all just about had a heart attack on me. I could see it in your faces. You're like... Let's talk about this moisturizer. I have here in my hand some moisturizer. And conditioner. Oh, conditioner. Thank you, honey.
Love you.
Moisturizing conditioner. Aha. So that's what threw me off. Now, you guys use this product probably a lot, especially the ladies out there. Amen. Conditioner, moisturizer. You guys probably, the guys that really want to look good and want the hair to look good, probably use this too. Totally cool. I use it. Amen. It's a blessing of the Lord. Thank you for whoever. A guy actually invented this. I forgot his name, Otto or Oscar or some. I want to say O. Funny. Guy created something that women probably use even more. But anyways, so on this bottle, you might see the words, use as directed or for best results. You ever heard of that before? Use as directed for best results. So for the best results, based on the designer, the architect of this particular product, he said, if you do this, if you do this how I say you should do it, if you do this when I say you should do it, you might get the best results. Use as directed. Now, use as directed could sound so legalistic to all you free thinkers out there, you free spirits. So I want to appease to you guys. Just bear with me on this one, okay? To you, it might sound like, oh, this is just a bunch of rules. Now, in theory, and in reality too, can you use this not as directed? Can you do whatever the heck you want with it? Can you wash the dishes with this conditioner? Can you, because you're supposed to use this after your shampoo, can you use this first and then shampoo? Is there a rule saying that you can't do that? Is the police going to show up at your house if you start washing the dishes with this? No, right? It's totally harmless. This is up to you. How you use this is totally up to you. That being said, it still says use as directed, and even better, I like this, for best results. It isn't going to hurt you if you wash your dishes with this. It isn't going to hurt you if you use this after you or before you shampoo. When it clearly says shampoo first, let dry, not fully dry, but let your hair dampen and then use this for best results. Guys, sex is the same thing. Intimacy is the same thing. It's as silly as a conditioner bottle. God is the architect of sex and intimacy. He had a grand master plan, a grand scheme for it. Use it as directed for best results. Can you get other results out of sex? Can you get some weird results out of sex if you don't do it within the parameters of what God has laid out? Yeah. Will it always hurt you? No. But for best results, use as directed. See, God has a plan for your intimacy. Guys, I don't want results in my intimacy. I don't want results. I want the best results. Yeah. I can get results anywhere. I want the best results. The world can get you results, all right. This culture's got results. But does it have the best results? I don't know about that. Speaking of results, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about getting results from our relationship with our spouses. It's free tips. You can thank me later. Number one, you need to know your spouse in order to know the way to your spouse, if you know what I mean. Do you know what I mean? Or do I have to explain that shamefully? But you got to know your spouse in order to know the way to your spouse. If you want to get frisky, be friendly first, okay? That is so cheesy. Cannot believe I just heard that at church. You want to get frisky, get friendly first. Guys, love and intimacy is such a, it's such a, it's such a big topic. Like, I'm just trying to compress this thing down into one sermon, and there's so much we can talk about. And, you know, Pastor Alex kind of hit on some things throughout our Reset series, but if you want a successful sex life and intimacy, you got to know your spouse's love language. First things first, you got to know their love language. What is a love language? Cool book out way back when, actually 90s, I want to say, about the five love languages. Do you guys know the five love languages? I'll tell you, for those of you that do not know. Number one, now this is, the love language is a way that your spouse connects or is receptive to love, okay? It's what works for them. This is, not everyone is the same. Some people go one way, some people go the other way. So let's just, I'll set it up for you. So number one, words of affirmation. That's a love language. What are words of affirmation? Duh, what I just said. Words of affirmation. Hey, honey, you look awesome today. Is that a new dress? It so does not make you look this way. Or, I love that one thing that you said at that one time. That was so cool. That totally, like, made me feel so good. You know, making somebody feel good using words, speaking good into their life, speaking positive into their life, right? Affirming them, affirming your love for them. Guys, some people just, they have to. It's not that they want to and they need to, that they have to. They just have to always be told, hey, I love you. I love you. I'm in love with you. Like, you're mine. I'm yours. I love you. Number two, quality time. That's a love language. Pretty self-explanatory. Some people's love languages is spending time together. If you want to know the way to their heart, spend some quality time together. Do something. Go see a movie. Go ride a bike. I don't know. Go take a hike. Go through the trails. Just being in the same room together. Guys, you know, even being in the same room together, even if you're not doing the same thing, that's a love language to some people. Now, statistics show that a lot of women usually lean towards this one, quality time. They liked spending quality time together. So guys, speaking to myself, preaching to myself, turn off that football game sometimes. Spend some time with your woman if you want the way to her heart. Spend some time with your children. It's not about you. It's about your spouse. It's about everybody else. Number three, love language. The third one is receiving gifts. Love this one. Love this love language. Now, this one could be expensive. Some people's love language, how they communicate, how they feel loved and wanted and nurtured, and like people generally appreciate them, is through gifts. I feel sorry for sometimes whoever love language that is, if you're in that type of relationship, because that can get kind of spendy. But it doesn't have to be a big, huge, grand, expensive gift. It could just be a little series of gifts. Say, hey, I got this for you. I thought of this for you. I think it's so cool. Our kids were growing up, and you know, we had those weeds, those dandelion weeds around our house, you know? And I was teaching my son Johnny, he's 6 now, and he's a big kind of rough dude. I mean, you should see him. He's built big for 6. And I was teaching him, you know, gentleness. I was teaching him to be, you know, to soften up a little bit. And so I said, hey, let's surprise mommy. So we go out to the field and we pick these dandelion flowers. And then I say, hey, give this to mom. She'll really like it. And of course, mom knows what's going on. You know, Johnny grabs the flowers and he goes up to her. Hey, mommy, I got these flowers for you. And he's like, oh, sweetie, thank you so much. And he's got this big grin on his face. It made him feel so good. But see, we got to teach these things to our kids because they don't know. As parents, it's our responsibility to train up a child in its way, the Bible says. Number four, acts of service. Doing things for somebody. Washing the dishes. Ugh. Vacuuming. Cleaning the house. Getting a job. Just saying. Was that too brutally honest? Getting a job, or did that just come out wrong? Came out good? Get a job. Do I have, I feel like in this day and age, I have to preach about this. For the love of God and all things that are good, get a job. Some of us need to get a job. Some of us can get a job. Some of us, God gave us wisdom and a brain and we can get a job. That's not here. You guys, not in this church. We're good. We got perfect people. We're all cool. So this isn't for you. This is for your neighbor. But acts of service. people are receptive, some people, not everybody, are receptive to doing something for them, making them feel loved and appreciated. And the last, but certainly not the least, is physical touch. How many physical touch? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't ask that. Physical touch. Now, it is not always limited to sexual touch. Notice I said physical touch. Some people are touchers. They just touch. They touch everywhere. Seems like they touch everything, everywhere, and it's like, bro, like here, come on. Like, we're in church, bro. Some people communicate that way, and that's totally okay. You know why, guys? Because God made them that way. God made them receptive to the love language of touch. Now, notice, it's not sexual touch. Some people just love just, you know, putting their arm around their shoulder, and they say, hey, babe, what's up? And they feel love. They feel, some people like a little back rub or a neck rub. You know, everybody is different. Now, notice these love languages don't necessarily apply to every single one. You got to figure out what your love language is first. Know thyself first, and then know your spouse second. Okay, if you want to weigh to their heart, you got to figure out what you know what they are open to, like physical touch. You know, I mean, let's be honest. Some guys it doesn't take that much. All it takes is a little touch and. We have Houston, we have Liftoff. And that's okay. A little weird, but that's okay. Everyone is created with a different drive. Everyone has a different portion, right? So be you, especially if those that are touchers, you know, be careful. You got to be very, very intentional about when you do it, where you do it, and all that stuff, all right? Just spare everyone the glaring embarrassment and just glowing red, okay? Guys, and I firmly believe this, but I think that great sex and an awesome intimate life is a result of a great relationship. And you know how you have a great relationship with somebody? You marry them. Now, again, I don't want to come off as, you know, a buzzkill, especially if you guys aren't married. If you aren't married now, don't take offense to what I'm about to say. Actually, let God work on your heart and be receptive. This is for your own good. This is out of love. This is not out of hate and I just want to, rat on you. This is out of love. But you know how you get to love somebody? You marry them. And you know how you find out how much you can hate somebody? You marry them. And all the married people said? Why is it the guys that just said that? Did you just notice that? And all the married people said, amen. I did not hear one woman. Guys, you're in the doghouse. Don't do that at church. But it's so true. You never know how much you can love somebody until you marry them. And consequently, you never know how much you can just annoy the crap out of somebody until you marry them. Guys, marriage is the ultimate picture of love. Marriage is God's ultimate design. It's God's ultimate example of love. It even goes further on in the Gospels. We read, they use an analogy. You know, the Bible is full of metaphors, and then the church is the bride of Christ. Like, guys, like, what? I'm not no bride. And, you know, just like really weird, but it's metaphorical. But marriage is the ultimate design of God's intent to love. Now, the world's way, our culture says, you know, you don't need an honest, meaningful, deep relationship with somebody. Just kind of do what feels good. You know, do what feels right when it feels right. Just kind of do whatever. Go with the flow. That's culture. Well, I want to ask you this. What happens when the fun runs out? What happens when times get tough? What happens when there's a crisis in your relationship? What happens when there's, you know, someone or something damaging your relationship? What happens when you're damaging your relationship? Guys, we live in a world that anything can happen anytime, anywhere. Nothing is a given. Our health is not even guaranteed. So what happens when it gets tough? Are you going to stay tough or are you going to just quit and you're going to walk out? Are you going to receive and embrace what the Word of God says? Or are you just going to kind of feel like, oh, I can't do this. This isn't happening. I'm going to leave. I can't. This is too much for me. When the fun runs out, are you also going to run? Is what I want to ask. Or are you in it for the long haul because you truly love somebody? See, like God's love for us, guys, marriage is unconditional. It's a direct example of God's love for us. It's till death do us part, not till differences do us part. Now, and like I said, I want to be gracious to the people that, you know, maybe came from broken relationships or relationships that just didn't work out. I love you. You know that? God loves you. We love you. We as a church celebrate you. We embrace you because we believe in something called God's grace. And you know what? The crazy thing about God's grace is it's just not fair. It's not fair that he should just release his unconditional love on us when we did something bad or we messed up, when it was our fault or our spouse's fault. So if you come from that, if you have some baggage from a past relationship, I'm here to tell you that it's okay. I love you. We love you for it. God loves you for it. As long as your eyes are set on Jesus, as long as your heart is set on the word of God and the words designed for love, you got nothing to worry about. That's why it's important to surround yourself with godly couples. Surround yourself with couples that have been experienced, that have been through some things. Maybe you're going through something right now and you feel like you're alone. And especially those of you that have gone through something, I pray that God gives you boldness to share it and extend grace. What you went through could be the key to unlocking and relieving somebody of what they're going through. You literally could be the healing for somebody because you went through it. So don't, in your grief or, you know, being upset, think, God, why is this happening to me? Or God, why did I have to go through this? Have a positive mind, have a positive heart and say, hey, I could be a help for somebody. Maybe somebody doesn't have to go through what I went through. So don't hold it in. Be bold. Share it with people. Love people. That's what love is. When you have something great, you share it. I want to finish with this kind of idea, this thought that I had. You guys, have you ever heard the phrase, fake it till you make it? This is all, guys, this is a series, well, not really only about marriage, right? But marriage is a big deal. We're just driving this hard throughout the series. So I hope it bless your marriage. I hope you guys receive something from it. But the phrase, fake it till you make it. And some things it's good. It's a good phrase. You know, maybe in sports, you can intimidate your opponent by acting like you're the best and getting in their head a little bit, messing with their psyche. You know what I'm saying? But in marriage, I don't really think this phrase applies, fake it till you make it. I think it's quite difficult in marriage to fake it until you make it, right? Because marriage is tough. Marriage is hard. Marriage is so frustrating sometimes. Marriage could be so broken sometimes. It's a lot of work. See, but God knew what he was doing when he joined Adam and Eve together and they became one. Do you think he knew that they would have hardships along the way, maybe? Some bumps in the road, you know what I'm saying? I think he knew all that stuff. He still joined them. He still blessed them. He still said, be fruitful and multiply. Because he loves them. He wants the best for them. So maybe this hits close to home. Maybe you're in a marriage, you know, here this morning and it's just not going the way you thought it would. I want to ask you just to hold on a little bit. I want to ask you to hold on, not to what I say, not to my words, but the word of God. Guys, the reality is nobody has a perfect marriage. I don't have a perfect marriage. Pastor Alex doesn't have a perfect marriage. But by the grace of God, I feel like I can have a great marriage and a great relationship with my wife. And you can too. But here's this is the trick of the devil, and I think deception is so big. And these are the last days the Bible talks about, kind of the end times. You know, it says that the devil is roaming around seeking who he may devour. And so you can't fake it till you make it in marriage, because here's the thing, the devil wants you to fake it. Because his thing is if he can get you to fake it, there's a good chance you might not make it. Keep faking it, he's saying. Keep faking it. Those outside voices outside of your relationship are saying, just, I know there's a problem, but you know what? You don't have to deal with it. I know there's an issue. We don't love each other like we do anymore, but you don't have to deal with it. No, Run to God. Run to good counsel. Run to somebody that you know, that you love and trust, that has your best interests. Don't fake it. You can't. How long can you fake it? Devil knows you can't fake it for much longer, because he doesn't want you to make it. I want you to make it. God wants you to make it. God wants us to have the best relationships ever. Out of all people in this world, God wants his sons and daughters to have the best marriages, the best relationships. Why? So he could be an example, so he could be a light, so our children can know what a great marriage looks like. When I said something stupid last time, or did something stupid, I'm convicted. When was the last time that I thought, man, I'm not being a really good example to my kids right now? My kids are growing up. They're absorbing. They see what I do. They don't do what I say sometimes, but they see what I do. That's why it's so important to cultivate a great relationship God's way. Not the culture's way, not the world's way, but God's way. There's such a huge blessing in that. You can literally change somebody's, your marriage can literally change somebody else's marriage. You got to know how to use it. You got to know how to live it. You got to know how to share it. Now, I'm not talking about every little detail, because some things are just ain't your business. Right? I'm just talking generally. And like I said, guys, I want to finish with this, that maybe you have some baggage from your past, or you kind of had a rough past and, you know, you've gone through some stuff. Hey, I'm here for you. I feel for you. Because you know why? Because God is here for you. He feels for you. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. Even if it was your fault, he doesn't care. As long as you look to him, he's going to embrace you with arms wide open. He's going to love you. Guys, there's so many people, really things, just really bad, just nasty, evil things have happened to them. Does God not care for them? Does God not love them? We should too then. We should embrace them too. We should let them in. Not everyone's story is just like your story. So we don't want to appear holier than thou and we're better and I'm better than you. Reach out to somebody. Love them. Show them God's love. Show them God's compassion. Man, I love this series. I think we got to do a series like this like at least once a year, because it's good to be reminded, amen? It's good to just be refreshed. Like my soul, my spirit is refreshed and going through all these things. And guys, you know what? Studying this, I was convicted probably a lot more than any other series, because I'm not this perfect guy. And I hope I don't come off. Just ask my wife. I got issues. But you know what? She loves me. And she loves God, and I love her for it. And she's an amazing woman, and I'm so glad that God gave me her, because, man, I would be so lost without her. And God wants that for you too. Let's pray.